Welcome to the AICPA Forensic and Valuation Services Podcast, delivering insights from experts on forensics, valuation, fraud, fair value, damages, and more. Designed to help you best serve your clients and employers with the growing demand for forensic accounting and valuation services. Be sure to subscribe today and visit us at AICPA.org/FES for more information, resources, and tools.
Hello, everyone, and I'm happy to bring to you today another AICPA podcast on technical litigation issues as they relate to the pandemic of 2020. Today, our guest is Carolina Calhoun. She is a vice president in Mercer Capital and a member of the Mercer Capital litigation team. So, Carolina, thank you for joining us today, and can you please tell the audience a little bit more about yourself?
Thank you, Hubert, so much for inviting me today, and I'm excited to speak to you and the AICPA community. I am heavily involved with the AICPA this year and next year. I'm serving as the valuation chair for the AICPA Forensic and Valuation Services Conference, and I also am on the CFF Exam Task Force. I am a former president of the Memphis, Tennessee Society of CPAs, and I am a frequent speaker on the topic of financial valuation and forensic matters for the benefit of our peers and attorneys within our industry.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us today. We're very excited to have you. Today's topic is going to be the importance of valuation dates in litigation. So, you know, let me start by asking you the first question here. You know, why does agreeing on a valuation date matter in a context of litigation? As simple as that question should be, I know it's a little bit more complex because we're going to talk about it in both the matrimonial context and in the business and commercial litigation context. So let's start off with talking about the importance of the valuation date in matrimonial and dissolution engagements.
Hubert, you're absolutely right. It seems like a simple question, but it's certainly one that needs to be agreed upon by both parties, both sides of the litigation, and certainly one that needs to be understood. So put simply, the valuation date is defined as a point in time at which the business or business interest is being valued. So why does that make so many questions when we're determining what should be the valuation date? Well, in the context of a divorce, as you are probably well aware and our community is aware, state statute differs from state to state. Most states are current date, which for our context, you know, that's probably going to be the preparation of your report number one. So that would be for mediation or for trial purposes. However, other states have a date of filing of petition, and even other states have a date of separation. So those are the three that I have dealt with in my experience, definitely the current date being the most common. But what if you are a date of filing of petition, and it's in the middle of the year, in the middle of the month, and financial statements are not as easily available? That does give some flexibility and opportunity to agree upon a date that makes a little bit more sense, that is as close to the date of filing as possible. Now, expanding this to business litigation, commercial litigation, damages, et cetera, that simple point in time definition expands even more because we have to consider what is reasonably known and knowable as of the date of valuation. So that is critical because that impacts our understanding of the industry, the economy, the business, and even all the underlying elements that contribute the business to perform as it does. So it's relationships with suppliers, with vendors, its contracts, et cetera, which, as you know now, too, with hindsight, we also have to consider subsequent events, and we'll get onto that probably further as we expand our discussion, but those are all important in agreeing on a valuation date in the simple context of determining a date to just value a business as of.
Great. And how about further down the road, if we're talking about in the context of estate planning or estate valuations?
It's also important in the context of estate planning because the date of death can be used, or an alternative date, which is typically 6 months down the road. And those two dates may have different considerations, as in the context that we're seeing right now in COVID, because a lot has changed within 6 months. And if it's not related to an event such as death, maybe it's a contribution for charity purposes, maybe it's a contribution or a sale or a transfer, then we have two different opportunities, 30 days or 60 days after that contribution. And so, again, in that context, once it's agreed upon which date you choose, or both sides choose, then that has to be the date at which financial documents are provided and the analysis is provided.
Okay, good, good. Now, you talked a little bit about COVID, and I guess that's always the 800-pound gorilla in the room these days. So in regards to determination of valuation dates, you know, how has COVID-19 affected those agreements and determination of valuation dates, as well as the related valuations?
COVID has changed, Hubert, the gorilla. I mean, COVID has changed everything. The importance of valuation date is an important topic absent a huge economic event such as COVID, but this definitely gives us an event in history that we can now give great examples from, and especially in the importance of valuation date. So COVID has created, depending on what industry you're in, various impacts on business. It's hard to believe that there have actually been some winners in the midst of all this, but there have definitely been winners and losers. And so let's think back to the agreement of a valuation date. A valuation date is a point in time. So, and to add further, it's a point in time at which known and reasonably known facts are considered within that evaluation. So a point in time at which was known as December 31st, 2019 is vastly different than a point in time known as, let's think back a few more months, maybe June 30th, 2020. Within just those 6 months, a lot has changed. In a typical year, those would probably be two points in time that are important and enough of a passing of time that could be important enough to give an update or second valuation. However, in the context that we're in right now and in the environment that we're in right now, COVID has really impacted every element of our evaluation. We have to consider what's the impact on that business as a point in time today. Have any of its vendors or suppliers or contracts been impacted? And what does that mean for the future? Are there different scenarios of recovery? Hubert, I bet I could speak on this for a whole hour, so I'm going to try to keep my responses as succinct as possible. But I know you would agree that there's just our whole evaluation world has changed right now. An example that my colleagues have referenced even over the course of the last 6 months is, what is the applicability of using the market approach now? So the market has been volatile and all over the place, and are those comps that once were used, maybe even at 12/31/2019, are they even comparable right now in the midst of an economic volatility environment that may or may not give an opportunity to even be able to use market comparables and guidelines, transactions, et cetera. So we really have to refine our entire evaluation of the valuation process, not just the company relative to itself and its recovery or recovery scenarios, but the company relative to the market comps that one may have been using. And I promised I would keep this answer succinct, but I have a couple examples that might help our listeners, Hubert. So at the beginning of the year, I was working on evaluation for marital divorce purposes, and it was for the, in the state of Florida. So the state of Florida is a date of filing. The divorce was actually filed at the end of September, and by the time that the client came to us, it was the beginning of the year. Maybe it was actually in December, and for ease of financial statements, the parties, both sides, agreed upon using 12/31/2019. So that was already one environment and consideration where we considered the statute, but then made a decision, a joint decision, to use year-end for the ease and usability of financial statements. But around March, when we had all of our audited or audit draft of financials, so to say, COVID started unwinding, so to say. And I know that the points in time at which COVID is known and reasonably knowable are slightly different. But at this point in time, we actually connected with our attorney, who then connected with the opposing counsel and the client on that side and the opposing expert. And we had to have a joint discussion about, does it make sense to keep that old valuation date, or should we update it, or do we need to do two now? Because the specific industry, it was actually in the restaurant industry, was definitely impacted by COVID. And that's another example, that's a fully loaded example of all types of considerations, COVID, non-COVID, passing of time, and certainly industry specific, because that industry was impacted more by COVID than some of the other ones.
Wow. And I think that's important. And you use a term, I think that's the term fully loaded, although not a technical term of art with valuation experts, is I think what we're all dealing with now is a lot more things to consider than we had in the past. And you did talk about the courts and dealing with the courts. And so it brings me to my next question. Now, the recent court closings and the delays that were associated with that, are you seeing any impact on valuation and selection of valuation dates as a result of that? Now the court's coming back online in some states. How has that affected your practice?
We are absolutely seeing this impacting our practice because, as I mentioned, COVID came into our worlds in February or March or even before that. And that was a long time ago. So we're sitting here today at the end of August 2020, and if a report was provided to a court or even for mediation purposes before March, and 6 months have transpired, and to that six very volatile months in this COVID environment, we're now finding that it may be necessary to update those valuations. And does that mean providing a new evaluation as of the current date and comparing it to the prior one? Or does that mean just merely updating it for the consideration of changes in rates, of potential COVID premium, or even completely changing the evaluation? And that's something that we are... We're all determining case by case because, as I mentioned, the impact from COVID is certainly differing across industries, and it's just hard to believe that there are winners and losers, so to say, in this COVID environment. But there are some industries that have actually grown, and their stock prices have grown during this time. And for Hubert, for those matters that are damage related, or there's a measuring period which now has advanced, you know, that's just another crinkle in this analysis because our analysis was dated as of a certain date and the courts were closed and clients were not meeting together face to face. And now we're 6 months down the road and that might change our period of time that has transpired for damages, or maybe during that time other things have happened. And this brings this bigger question of what was known and reasonably knowable, and what's the current date? Was it the original current date, or is it the further date? So there is just so much that we've got to consider, but I think the element that we're all trying to consider is just to be as transparent of all the changes and work with our clients through determining the impact and just try to all together understand the impact, right?
Wow. Well, you've given the listeners a lot to think about. And I'm going to sum up what I got from it, but I'm going to ask you to fill in at the end. But one size fits all or cookie cutter approach to this. The valuation date as a result of COVID is important. So can you think of any other situations that give rise to valuation date considerations that a practitioner should be aware of or looking for?
Sure. Another one that comes to mind, even absent COVID or within COVID, is merely the process length. So whether or not it's a delay associated to the courts, or maybe clients have decided to withdraw for the matter, or there is something that is taking a long time to gather. Maybe documentation discovery is slow, or there has been a new expert added. You know, there's so many different variables that we work with from case to case, but the long and short of it is that delays happen, extensions happen. So what if a case that should have gone to trial next month has been continued until next spring, and then that gets even continued further? So at this point, we start considering that it, you know, is an update enough? Is an update to capture the difference in the passing of time enough, or do we need to do a completely different valuation? And sometimes that means that there's now two valuations out there, and especially in the context of marital dissolution, that may, depending on state statute, also give rise to marital and separate carve-outs and active versus passive. You know, that's a whole nother topic for another podcast, Hubert. But absent COVID, we have to consider valuation date and considerations and implications when time passes. And then furthermore, with COVID occurring now, we even have to be more scrutinous of how has business changed, how has business change impacted valuation, and try to portray that to our clients and the importance of it. Because as you know, some clients may be weary of spending the extra budget to have a second evaluation or a second report, but I think the importance of it outweighs the cost of it.
Absolutely, absolutely. I don't disagree with you at all there. Well, you've given us a lot of information, a lot of different areas for people to think about. I want to thank you for giving your time and talent today to helping out with this podcast. And if you have a couple of closing remarks, we're happy to hear them, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Hubert, and the AICPA so much for having me today. And hopefully I've but just presented a few ideas that are passing through all of our minds today, and I look forward to discussing these within our industry further. Thank you.
Okay, and quick plug. AICPA conference this November virtually. Carolina is the chair of the BV section for that conference. So everybody go sign up quick. Thank you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. And we have some great speakers and sessions. So it's going to be a wonderful conference. I look forward to everyone participating.
Want more information, resources, tools, and guidance on technical and practice management topics? Visit AICPA.org/SES. If you're not already a member, think about joining the SES section, which is designed to save you time, help you best serve your clients, and take your forensic accounting or valuation practice to the next level. You'll gain access to a robust selection of high-quality technical and practice management resources like practice aids, toolkits, templates, up to 8 hours of free CPE, and more. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel so you don't miss an episode. Thanks for listening.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA or AICPA.org. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA and AICPA.org are not engaged in offering legal, accounting, or other professional service. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA and AICPA.org make no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assume no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and especially disclaim all liability for any damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.